Hi, this is filmmaker BJ Colangelo, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
Welcome to The Default Setting. This is your host, Jess Falstick.
And I am co-host, Gigi.
And this week, we're going to be talking to our very special guest, Cindy Rice, about her default setting. And what did you say? Your default setting is body image issues?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't we all, though?
It's true.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, they develop, you know, sometimes maybe later when they like, there's always a moment, I think, for a lot of girls where it's like, they have this moment where like, wait, shit, I gotta look good. I gotta think about what's going on.
Right.
And then there's others that, you know, maybe it was just, especially if you were heavier as a kid. I know my mom was always talking about she was heavier as a kid. Like, it's not something that's ever really left her frame of reference
right.
as far as what she was, you know, she's just always been worried about it.
Right.
Yeah. So was that kind of similar to your experience? Is that why it's kind of built into?
Absolutely. You know, I went through a time where my dad was ill when I was a child, and, you know, the neighbors would bring in blueberry tarts and, you know, fried Ooh. Chicken and all this stuff to comfort us. And next thing you know, I'm gaining weight. And yeah, I was dealing all through elementary school with being, you know, the fat kid. And that does still stick with me. I still feel like I'm the fat kid no matter where I'm at, you know, and I'm 56 years old and it's still hanging on to me. So, and I'm currently dating somebody that's last girlfriend was 26. So
that in and of itself is compounded just by that
Say
alone.
No more.
Yeah. Fucking 20-year-olds.
They suck.
They haven't been through
Let's, not even, let's just not even talk about 20-year-olds ever.
Right? Metabolism bullshit.
Gravity has not hit them yet.
Well, what's crazy is like, I definitely want to delve into this more, but for like me, like I wasn't a fat kid, but my metabolism just stopped working after puberty hit.
Right.
So for all these women who like their metabolism doesn't stop working until they hit their late 20s or 30s, they're like, oh my God. I'm like, don't even come to me with your shit.
Right.
Like, it's happening.
I've had to worry about what I put in my mouth since I was like 12, and that sounded really horrible. So when was, do you remember if there was like a specific defining moment where you started to kind of actually become self-conscious about your weight specifically or anything about your body really?
Absolutely. I was probably 9 years old and I went to visit a relative and my great uncle walked in and said, boy, Cindy, you've gotten really fat.
Wow.
And I still remember that. After all of these years, and that has stuck with me, you know, anytime a word like that is said to you as a kid, it does stick with you forever.
Did he, was that the first time you'd ever really thought about like yourself in that way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was just going along as a normal kid, playing with the other kids and doing my thing.
Terrible.
No.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard because kids are the ones that are supposed to be the brutally honest, like awful, you know, saying the shitty things because
right.
they don't know any better to have a filter. But when a grown-ass
right.
adult is the one that says, now in retrospect, looking back now, was he like historically pretty much like the tactless asshole uncle or was it just he meant well and he just said the wrong thing?
I think he meant well. Okay. I really do. I think he was probably trying to shock me into eating better and taking better care of myself or something. But at 9 years old and my dad is dying, you know, at that time, I don't think even my mom was all that concerned with what I was eating
sure,
at that point.
That was not the priority.
You know? So, right. So I don't know, but that has definitely influenced me throughout my entire life and will always probably stick in my head, you know.
So your dad passed away when you were 9?
When I was 10.
When you were 10,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yeah.
What was your relationship with your mom like? Were you guys pretty close? Was it kind of just...
Very close.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We were absolutely best friends.
Okay.
So,
and
yeah.
your mom was very sort of positive and supportive about body image issues and things like that.
Yeah, she struggled herself, you know, with it all. And so she understood, you know, what I was going through. And I got a lot of the weight off, you know, during my high school years and things like that. But I never gained the self-confidence back, you know, no matter what my mom said. It was like I never could get that self-confidence back again.
Yeah.
So, and I'm just getting it back actually now in my 50s.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah. Uh-huh. I'm hot.
So is it like, great. That's awesome. Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's encouraging to me because I feel like I didn't really start getting my shit together until I was in my 30s a little bit, just from like a confidence perspective.
Right.
So, and it's good to know, like, I'm not alone as sort of a late bloomer sort of thing, because I feel like so many other people got their shit together like in college. Like they just figured it all out, and they figured out whether they were hot or smart or both. And then they got their fucking jobs and they figured out their calling. Because that's like I watch. So my biggest thing right now is especially in comedy. And I'm glad that like I've got you to kind of talk to about this, because I would say probably at least half to three quarters of the comedians that we work with are just now of drinking age or not yet of drinking age.
Right.
And there's this huge part of me where it's like, fuck man, I wish I would have started this out 12 years ago. I'd have more time to like get the momentum rolling and that kind of thing. But at the same time, I didn't know who I was 12 years ago. I couldn't have been funny. I couldn't have been confident enough. Mm-hmm.
How much material would you have had at that point?
Exactly.
Right.
But it makes me envious too, that like you can be, you know, just turned 20 and you can have all this really sort of insightful, witty, funny sort of stuff to pull from. Whereas like, I was so awkward and I was so weird. Like I was a weird person. Like I wasn't even like, it's like no wonder I had no friends in high school. Cause like I talk about it a lot. I'm like, oh, I was bullied. But honestly, like I probably had it coming cause I was a big ass weirdo.
But I had to go on speaking to that too, because I went through 22 years of horrible shit marriage to get to where I am now, and came out of that marriage with my self-esteem so far in the gutter that I was suicidal at that point. And it wasn't until my boss offered me this current job that my whole life started taking this change. And within a month of starting this new job, I told my husband I want out. I hit the gym. I started getting into shape. My confidence level has shot through the roof. Wow. And I'm doing things that I never thought I would ever do, whether it's zip lining, comedy, belly dancing. I'm doing it all.
On the flip side of, you know, remembering that first moment when you started to feel self-conscious, what was the pivotal moment where you were like, fuck all this shit, I'm hot, I'm doing whatever the fuck. When was that? Do you remember that? Was there one?
You know, once I started really getting into shape and I started my confidence started really coming around, and, you know, all of a sudden these guys are start asking me out and they're 20 years younger than me. And, you know, that's when I really started saying, you know, maybe I'm not so bad after all. You know, I can do this. So even though at my age, no matter what I eat and no matter, you know, how hard I work out, I still look like I have an inner tube around my waist. But that is part of the age. I think that it's just going to always be there.
Well,
you know,
I heard recently, like, once you get to a certain age, the amount of things you have to do and the amount of things that you are allowed to eat in order to maintain a body type or a percentage of body weight is not, number one, I don't think it's healthy. And number two, I don't think it's realistic for literally anyone who doesn't have like a professional following them around, like literally making food.
I think a lot of times we look at celebrities and they're like, well, you know, they're up there in age and look at them. Well, yeah, they're paid.
Yes.
Like their job is to look good. They have a professional chef. They have a personal trainer, a personal assistant, someone taking care of their kids so that they have time to do all that. Like, it's not,
like if you spent 40
that's
hours
not reality.
A week. Yeah. If your full-time job, 40 hours a week.
Oh, I would look slamming.
In the gym and
if someone just paid me to look good, I think I could do it.
Holy shit, dude. Now I will say, I don't think I could part with sugars and alcohol, which is, I guess, a part of the necessary thing to look like that.
Yeah.
I'd rather be happy.
Right.
Like, which.
Right. And you can indulge in some of that stuff, too. You know,
for sure.
I can't give up the beer. I like to have my beer. You know, I was married to an alcoholic, so I didn't drink for the entire time of my marriage. And now I enjoy having a beer, you know, so I'm not going to give that up, even though I could probably get rid of my stomach and my waist.
Yeah, there's some things you just have to be like, no, I'm going to just treat myself.
Enjoy.
I'm not going to, well, I don't eat this every day or right. I don't drink this every day. It's just one of those things.
And I think
it's
the balanced. Psychology of deprivation too, just makes you resentful. And then that's what leads people into like, I mean, that's why I think a lot of people relapse into like drug and alcohol.
Oh God, yes.
The cold turkey sort of method is you become resentful that you can't have anything.
Right.
And then you just, you go on a binge
and
in the closet.
That either ends up, and that either ends up killing you or at least gets you back into like full time, like eating abnormally, drinking, you know, regularly. So, so backing up, you had mentioned the first time it had occurred to you, like body image was an issue was when you were about 9 or 10.
Right.
And was it just kind of, did it kind of sit in the back of your mind at that point and then kind of gradually become more and more to the forefront? Or was that just kind of, he planted the seed and then it was just always there? Or
always.
How did you, okay.
Always.
But never went away after that moment?
Never went away. Okay. And I mean, when you think about the fact that I am 56 years old and I still remember that one single moment when I was 9 years old.
Right. It's scarring.
How defining is that? Yeah. That one
That's
statement
age.
Said to me, right. Has affected me all of these years.
Now, aside from that first moment when your uncle had mentioned something, do you remember other instances of other people saying things?
No. Okay. I don't remember anything ever before that. Okay. I thought I was just a normal kid.
But even after your uncle, like when you got into school, did kids say anything? Was it pretty much just that?
Kids didn't really start saying too much until probably I was 11 and I suddenly had boobs. But, you know, as far as my weight goes, I don't remember the kids really saying stuff to me.
Okay.
So.
Interesting. So was it that point forward was most of the, do you feel like most of the struggle you felt was sort of self-propelled?
Just oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm my own worst enemy.
Okay.
Have been all these
and
years.
And there was nothing, like, did you talk to people about it at all?
I did not really until when I was probably when my mom died and I went through some counseling, but you know, and I did try to deal with some of that issue too. But I totally, that is my own thing. Yeah. I beat myself up in my head all the time. I fight that to this day. I have to fight those thoughts all the time that, you know, tell me, God, you're such a loser. Oh my God, you're so fat. Why did you eat that? You know, all of that stuff starts trying to flood back into my head. And I am constantly fighting that, you know, to try and keep myself from going back into that place. I don't want to go back to that place.
So you said you talked to a therapist after your mom
passed
away.
Right.
And did that mitigate any of it at all? Or did it really not do a whole lot?
It did not. And a great big part of that, I would say, is because I was in such a shitty marriage. And like I joke about the fact that my husband did not want to have sex with me. It was very true. I mean, we did not have
I feel like we could talk about shitty marriages for probably 20 minutes at least. So.
I had, in 22 years of marriage, we probably had sex 20 times. And for 17 years, the last 17 years, we did not have sex
17 years.
17
Wait,
years.
So you didn't have sex for 17 years? Okay, I know you guys can't see,
I didn't have sex with
Cindy.
My husband.
Oh!
Okay, after 11 years of not having sex, I had a brief, very quick affair.
Okay.
I felt like shit after
Still
that.
Still 11 years is a long
ass
time. You guys need to like look her up on Facebook and then try to envision this woman not having sexual intercourse for 11 years because you'd have to admit that would be of her own volition. Like that would be, she's actively trying not to have sex because I feel like every man in the world would be banging down the door and banging.
Thank you, Jess.
So no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off on that tangent. I just like, no, because my thing was like, I was only married for 8 years officially. And I think the last year and a half, 2 years.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And so in my mind, I'm like that. And I told people like, you know, when that drought was going on, I'm like, yeah, we haven't had sex in a year. And like, oh my God, a year. That's bananas. And then you tell me like 11 and I was like, what? Like, okay.
Yeah,
so,
but 17 years total
so
without having sex with him.
Interested or?
Oh, no. I would find him. I hope he's not listening. I would find him in the bathroom with magazines.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah,
I would be laying on the bed like asking for it and he would go to
the
bathroom. Yeah, he would rather do a magazine and himself and, you know, I would find phone numbers and fake MySpace accounts and pictures he'd sent to other people and, you know, all that kind of stuff was going on. But
so what do you think? This is getting into a whole other
pile of diddly.
But I mean, like, just sort of on that same, along that same train of thought, what do you think? Why did really either of you want to stay? Just because that's, it was what was familiar and because you'd been in it long enough? Or
I stayed because, number one, I was trying to save him. Okay. He was, in an addict. He was bad shape. And, I had a daughter.
With him?
Or? No, but that was the only father she'd ever known.
Okay.
And so I tried, I spent more of my time trying to keep him alive and trying to hide everything from my daughter. And in the process, like I said, my self-esteem had gotten to the point where I thought, you know, nobody else is going to ever want me. I'm just going to hang in here till I'm dead.
Yeah.
You know, that was my thinking.
Yeah.
I was just going to wait it out until I died.
Okay.
And I had nothing else to even look forward to.
Were there any other factors looking back besides that trigger with the body image issue that weighed on your self-confidence? Was there anything else that could have caused like that deterioration of that?
Oh, God, yeah. The fact that he wanted a magazine over me.
But even like before that, like so prior to your marriage, were you in a relationship where you had your daughter?
It was... I got knocked up.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it a relationship.
Sure. Yeah, for
I got knocked up in high school.
Okay.
And had her. And I basically went, you know, raised her for almost 11 years without even dating anybody.
Okay.
Until I met my husband.
And was that just, you just didn't really want
to
date?
Yeah, I was totally devoted to my daughter. I did everything with her. You know, I was PTA president. I worked. Oh, I went to school. You know, I did everything I possibly could to make her life as great as it could be because she didn't ask to be born to a single mom. And, you know, so then I met my husband and I thought this was going to be great. And even though I will tell you that I have never fallen in love.
Okay.
Juicy. Nothing was just said.
I'm going to go get another beer. You talk amongst yourselves.
That is stricken. No.
Oh, you're no, good. I'm good. Do you want anything? Okay. All right. I'll be right back.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
so how old is your daughter now?
She is 37 and I have a granddaughter now who is going to be 15 this month.
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, everyone please look her up on Facebook because there's more craziness happening over here.
The 15-year-old granddaughter, that's banana cake.
Yeah.
Bananas.
Yes. 15 years old this month. So she's sophomore at Bard High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one street over.
Sounds fancy. So,
yeah. Bard. Yes, early college. So
oh, wow, shit. That's awesome.
She will graduate high school with an associate's degree.
Nice. Also. Holy shit. Bam. That's so great.
So she's smart and she's adorable. And
so what's funny is, and I know you're not going to advocate this and I don't really mean it, but there's part of me that's like, I literally have friends that I graduated high school with that have kids that have fucking graduated high school. And I'm like, you know, I'm not saying that was the best thing for them, but also they're done. Like they're
right.
They are 36 years old and they are empty nesters and they can go do whatever the fuck they want.
That is
want
really crazy
now.
To think about.
And I've never had a child at the same age. So like, that's the thing. It's like, well, fuck, if I have one now, I'm going to be like 612 by the time they have grandkids. Yeah. So I don't really know if that's the best bet, but, So when you met your husband, what was the circumstances? Were you feeling like, I want to get back on a date, or was it like completely by surprise?
It was kind of by surprise. He came into the place where I was working at that time. Excuse me. I belched.
oh no, I that was no belching belch. Directly into the mic, like as often and as loud as humanly possible. Sorry, Pete. We love you.
And I don't know. I just, you know, he asked me for my phone number and I thought, you know, whatever. And I didn't fall in love, but...
Did other dudes had to have come up and asked you for your phone number?
Oh,
in that
guys were period. Guys flirted, but this was back. I was living in Guernsey County at the time, which is like Guernsey County is in Ohio,
okay.
But Southern Ohio. It's very conservative, very Bible thumping.
I feel like any
I'm going to shoot
not,
my gun.
Yeah, anything that's not Cleveland, Columbus, or Cincinnati is.
I'm
like
going to hold my Bible and shoot my gun.
Yeah, I grew up in an area like that.
Yeah, so there was really nobody there. For me. as far as I could see, you know. And then this guy came along and, you know, we were going to move, and we moved to Columbus, and I thought maybe this is going to be the answer for me, and it wasn't. And, you know, it was a bad decision. So
there we go. Hot mic, hot mic.
Like, she's like, I'm trying to tell this very serious. And I'm like, burp.
I don't even have the ability to do that.
Burp on command. I can't burp on command, because that, you know what grosses me out is when people do the alphabet with the burps.
Oh, like, yeah. That's disgusting.
Because I feel like at some point there's going to be like, it's not just going to be burps. At some point there's going to be some vom.
Right.
And you don't want that.
My brother, his choice when he's belching is to belch the vowels. And I feel like it's educational, but at the same time, it's just really gross.
Right. That was dangerous because I'm eating a pretzel rod and I could have inhaled pretzel dust and almost died.
He's done it 4 years.
Is this the one that I met at your house?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
Sam, my middle brother.
Sam. And then there's Sam Squared because he has his podcast. Shout out to Sam Squared, yeah?
It's not a thing anymore, but...
Oh, shit! Well, if you can find Sam Squared on the old iTunes... The old iTunes! You should listen to that. Sorry, we're going to get off topic a lot, especially okay, as I drank more beer.
I do want to thank Jess for bringing edible panties for me to snack on.
I did!
Yeah, she knows how much I love them.
Well, because here's the thing. So here's the thing. I was married for 8 years, and I was married to a wasp. And the one, like, the thing is, I'm going to say probably some not nice things about my marriage, but he was a really good guy because he made me, like, a well-rounded human being in the sense that, like, much to your point, when I married him, I was very insecure.
Right.
I had lots of, like, thought I was fat, thought I was nerdy. Kind of was.
Yeah.
I wasn't wrong. But he was super, like, I was from the sticks and he was from the suburbs, and his family was super waspy and fancy and, like, taught me how, like, etiquette works, essentially. So my whole thing is, like, when I have guests, whether it be from my podcast, whether it be my house, I want to have snacks. I want to have snacks that they're going to fucking want.
Right.
I want to have alcohol that they're going to drink. So I always message people before my show, which is why you should be a guest on the Default Setting. I message you before the show
and snack with us.
What do you want to fucking eat? Right. What do you want to fucking drink? And if you're not into alcohol, what would you like to smoke? Because we vaped last week until I could not make coherent sentences last week because I was so high.
I work for the government. I cannot do that.
That's actually, I don't know what I would do. If
also stricken.
Stricken. Redacted. We'll just have sound effects.
I actually am an undercover cop.
Right. Oh, fuck.
On
this
the side.
Thing was a sting. I knew this was too easy. It was just like, oh, it's so easy to set up a podcast. And like, Jeez whips out her badge. And I'm like, fuck. We've been friends for 4 years.
Someone, I kid you not, at work today told me, you could really be a secret agent. Because I knew where one of the attorneys was. Somehow, just my...
That's with, just it. That's
using
all required,
my deductive right? reasoning That's skills, all, I'm yeah. like, they're most likely here. They'll probably be here in about 5 minutes, I guess. I'm going to be back in 10. They were like, who are you?
I'm going to say, no, you can't, because your face is too fucking expressive. Let me give you an example. I love you, Erin. I know you're going to listen to this, but I have to tell the story. I love you so much. She knows exactly the story I'm about to tell. So we were in my apartment, and my friend Erin was very drunk. And we were leaving my apartment in the lobby of my building.
Okay.
And my friend Erin goes, I can't find my debit card. I think I left it in your apartment. And I said, that's fine. And she said, which apartment was yours? And I said, 12, whatever the fuck it was.
But it was a very, in a very panic. Like, she was in a very panic state.
Yeah, I was like, it's 12:05. So she's like, okay. So she goes.
There we go.
She goes back up to 12 and we're all waiting in the lobby.
Waiting to go to the second location.
To go to the second location, wherever that was.
Like Oprah tells us not to do.
And she comes back to the lobby and she's like, I couldn't find it. I was like, what? And she was like,
your card?
It's no. She's like, no, your apartment. It's not there. And I was like, no, it's there. It's like 12:05. And she's like, no, I looked. It's not there. And I'm looking at Geege, and her face was just like, I wish that I could convey in words her face, because she was just like, oh, sweet
in
Jesus.
In my head, I was like, Jess lives on platform 9¾.
Like like, my apartment was Narnia, and it had just disappeared.
That's not a thing that happens. People don't lose their apartments.
And so, like, her face, though, was just, oh, my God. So I had to go back upstairs with Aaron so we could find my apartment. But it was funny because there were other people waiting outside for us, and they're like, what the shit is going on? And she just walks out of my apartment with this look on her face, just like, oh, sweet God, like, what? And I think they were all immediately like, what is going on? But yeah, no, you're too expressive. You couldn't be
Of us, like, looked at each other and almost lost it and just had to, like, panic run out the door where we left.
Yep. So that happened.
I have that issue, though, too.
What's up?
Every time somebody takes a picture of me doing comedy, I've always got that stupid expression on my face. Like, stupid. What? I'm always making these really stupid
looks. See, there it is. There's a self-consciousness right there coming through.
Yeah.
I've never seen you making a stupid face in any
really?
Pictures. No. But you know what? I will say that I hate all my pictures. And I think that's just a fucking thing that we do.
Right.
Yeah.
I try to get over that. Yeah. I try not to even look at them. I just share them and say, haha, whatever.
I'm very glad that at least, like, my best friend, Sarah, always tells me, she always has to, like, comfort me and remind me, you don't look as good in a one-dimensional situation.
Nope.
Like,
right.
You don't translate well on camera. And I'm like, is that what I look like? I'm just, like, full panic. She's like, no, that's not what you look like at all.
Right. In, like, the rare moments when you do look amazing, like, that just goes to show you, you look fucking amazing because you were able to catch a moment in
I
time must have where you weren't even trying.
Real good.
Well, I think all y'all, thank you.
There we go.
All y'all.
I'm next.
Fucking photogenic as shit.
Thank you.
I actually do want to do promotional pictures at some point if this picks up with the two of
well,
us.
Get ready for my eyes to disappear because that's what happens when I smile.
Your makeup is fucking shit. You make the funniest fucking, that's the thing.
I look like an anime character all of a sudden. Just
whenever,
like,
whenever we're in pictures, it's hysterical because we're always just like, meh, like we're just making the funniest faces. I don't even remember what the fuck. Okay. So I belched and ruined your nice moment.
And then she belched.
Yes, I did.
And then you belched. All right. So the
Hannah
guy,
chugs
so the guy came in, asked for your number. You end up marrying him. You guys lived in Columbus, you said?
Just briefly. And then we moved up here.
And then you moved to Cleveland after briefly living in Columbus.
Right.
So you were married, you said 17?
22 years.
22. Okay. And then what was like the, do you remember the specific pivotal moment where you were like, I'm done, fuck this?
Well, I knew on my first anniversary that I'd made a huge mistake.
Okay.
He'd gone missing for 18 hours day on my first anniversary.
On your first anniversary?
Yes.
Was there anything leading up to that day that?
No.
What the fuck?
Right. So, and that was just followed by years and years and years of questionable being missing, things showing up in his pockets and, you know, things going on.
Did you ever find out where he went?
No.
Okay.
No,
did
I didn't
ask. And he just, and he just lied.
Oh yeah. He just lied. It was 22 years of lies, okay, basically. But as 1 month after I started this new job, which was, January, 2014, I started this new job with the government.
She's a CIA.
Be careful what you say.
Too late.
I was gonna say, like, never mind, I'm not gonna do it.
I suddenly started getting my confidence back. I thought, oh my God, if I can do this job, which I wasn't really prepared for, but if I can start doing this job and the people are starting to really take a liking to me and everything, and my confidence level started coming up, I thought, I think I can do this. I think I can get out of this marriage and I think I can make a life for myself.
So because you can seduce the prime minister of Libya, which I assume is what you do every day in your job.
Yes.
That was what, I mean, that would give me confidence as shit too. Like, your fucking alias out there, like doing your ninja moves on like the Prince of France. And
Mary-Kate might punch you in the throat for that.
Mary-Kate.
Right. did meet Mark Wahlberg.
Oh shit, yeah.
This past year.
Really?
Yes. And Matthew McConaughey.
Oh my God.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's hear about this.
Yeah. I was invited to the VIP red carpet reception for the opening of Wahlburgers.
Okay.
So I got to meet Mark. Nice. It was just those of us that were VIPs were allowed to be in there.
Fancy. Is he short?
Yeah. He is short.
Oh, I wondered about that.
But he's still hot.
He didn't seem
I didn't feel he was as approachable, so I wasn't really attracted to him. Okay. You know?
I mean, the thing I always, like, my caveat in the back of my head with celebrities, so I've been reading all these books about when I become a celebrity, what to expect.
Right.
Right.
But the thing is, people, like, you're one person and everyone in the world wants a piece of your time. So right. I feel like that's going to make you seem as like,
oh God,
you're just
yeah.
trying to like, you're literally at that point just trying to conserve all of like,
you're just
your
like
time.
Shut down. I right. feel like at some right. point.
And then everyone's like, oh, they're such an asshole. It's like, no, literally like there are 300 billion people in the world and they all want a piece of this person.
Right.
Like you probably are going to probably just shut down and not really like say a whole hell of a lot. And then I want to hear about how you met. Because he was in town, right? Matthew McConaughey.
I was actually on the movie set.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, for the White Boy Rick. He was doing that. And my boss was invited to go check it out. And I always tell my boss, you know, if you want me to go, I can. And so he took me. And so I got to sit in the director's tent, you know, with the headphones
so
on, listening
right
to this and everything. And then the actor that plays Rick came in, introduced himself to us and everything. We were chatting with him. And as we were leaving, Matthew McConaughey was sitting on the front porch of this house. And, you know, I just said, hey, you know, and he said, hey. And that was it.
Still, but that's better than
right?
anything I got.
He right? loved Cleveland, by the way.
Right. I'm pretty sure I was
him and
a
his
part
wife
of that.
Were like obsessed.
They were here for weeks.
They ordered a pig roast from where my mom works.
No
and like we're like
shit.
He was going all out, like doing everything cute. He was at Mayhall's yeah. when I was like
yeah,
out of town.
Mayhall's,
he
yeah.
loved Cleveland. Yeah, he did. He
my friend,
kept
he like
did
it upright when he
my
was
my
here.
My friend, like I think my friend was at Flying Fig in Ohio City one night, and they ran into him, and they ended up going out like fucking dancing with him and his
what?
Wife.
Wow.
And then they like someone took a video. Like they ended up coming back to his house, and he was just like hanging out, smoking weed. I don't know. Like these are just
that would be like a random night
sorry,
we
Matthew
would
McConaughey.
Have.
Literally, this is like I'm sure you don't care. I'm telling people you'd probably were smoking weed, but like. I was just blown away by like how it just seemed like everyone had a Matthew McConaughey story.
Right.
They ran into him and he seemed like a pretty cool, like, I mean, just seemed like fucking Matthew
yeah,
McConaughey.
Yeah, he seemed cool. He was just sitting on the porch like, hey, you know, when I walked by, like, so,
that's
you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah.
So you're saying that your job that you have now
right.
was what sort of was the initial boost of like, I can do better.
Right.
Like,
it was, it started getting my confidence going Great. Again. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so fucking intrigued though, because it's like, so rarely do you hear like my job in the government and it's like so like shrouded with mystery, but
right.
then also you're like, that's what, and I'm like, I'm convinced now, like I'm spreading the rumor that Cindy Rice is Alias and I don't know. Is that an outdated reference? I don't fucking watch TV or movies.
It's
what's the new one? What's a new like hot female spy? What's the thing, Geej? You're the young kid.
I
who knows
don't
all.
Know.
You know all the.
Who's the young?
It's not a scan. She's not Scandal because that lady's like a fucking. What is she? She's like a PR rep. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to podcasts right now.
I literally have no idea.
Listen to this 35-year-old woman go. What the fuck? Our shows. What do you kids talk about these days?
Yeah, I feel like I'm out of the loop now. I don't watch enough spy shows. Yeah.
We were talking. Geej and I were just talking about shows that make us cry on the.
Oh,
so like I have not seen. Do you watch This Is Us?
I can't watch that stuff anymore.
See, I can't either.
I can't. I don't want to be depressed anymore.
Okay, so that's where I'm at.
That's why I held off on it for such a long time, and then I was just like,
I don't want to cry anymore.
I'm having like FOMO, and I need to watch it.
So
I spent 22 years crying, basically. So
that's why
I don't
want to
cry anymore.
That's why
me
too, because it. As much as there's like the bullshit drama
right.
and the bullshit, like, and it doesn't matter what clique you're in, because my ex-husband was into the craft beer scene and there was plenty of drama there.
I will say everybody's been very nice to
and
me.
And that's it. Ultimately,
really.
It's about your personal experience and not about what other people say about the scene
right.
or what their experiences is. And like, I've been doing it for almost 2 years and I've had literally from the perspective of the scene, knock on wood,
right.
super sweet, supportive,
me too.
Nice people. And I think you get
except
what you
one.
Get. Oh, really?
What I was? Had one guy who posted. You want to hear about this?
Can we be on a,
yes,
can we be a podcast that names names? Oh, my fucking God. Jeremy and Jordan's podcast doesn't even name names. If our podcast names
you know
names,
who
I'm
did
gonna
me
cry
wrong.
With happiness. You know who fucked us over. Let's go.
He posted on one of the comedy Facebook pages.
On the Cleveland Akron one?
Yes,
okay.
That Cindy Rice gets jobs because she gives blow jobs.
Who? Do you not want to say offline? That's fine. You don't have to say. You can tell us offline. That's fine. Don't feel obligated.
Which, you know,
tell
this,
me offline.
This is not. This is toothpaste
she
on my shirt.
She on her shirt. And she couldn't do it. She was like, which?
This is not how I got this
let
podcast
the
job, by the way.
You can lick it. If it tastes minty, you can be assured that it is Crest.
Right.
And not jizz.
Oh, God.
No, we were definitely talking about this offline because I want to hear it.
Right.
Well, because that's the thing. I don't know if you've ever listened to Jeremy and Jordan, Jeremy Shears podcast at all.
No, I haven't.
So that's how I started doing this. Jeremy and Jordan's podcast. Shout out Let the Hate Flow Through You, which is on the Lousy Network, Lousy Media Network, Lousy Weather Media Network. There we go. So they were the first podcast I was ever on. They popped my podcast cherry in this very room at this very table.
Thank you for popping my cherry, Yay, Jess.
Yeah, popped Cindy's cherry. And so they started my whole podcast obsession, and they have Jeremy actually has a Patreon set up. Shout out Jeremy Shears Patreon. You can contribute to it. Jeremy has a Patreon where if you pay $20, they won't say your name. They won't name names on your podcast. So if like you did something shitty, like you can pay them $20 a month to like not say like the
$20
you did
a month.
Yes. Now here's the thing. No one's done it. No one's done that. But they're still very, for the most part, diplomatic. And I think, honestly, that's a professional, probably, way to handle it.
Right.
But there's just still part of me when they're always like, oh, I know who you're talking about. And they're like, I'm going to tell you offline. And me as a listener who also sponsors the podcast is like, motherfucker, I want to know who this is. Because it drives me insane. Because I literally know 99.9% of people.
This guy's from the Columbus area.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
right.
True.
And he apologized because I called him out on it.
Why did he say it? Did he say?
He was being funny.
Oh, isn't that great in the comedy scene?
Yeah.
Everything just defaults to, oh, I'm just kidding.
Right. It's just a joke.
I was just joking.
Well, my favorite thing is to then retaliate. And then they're like, well, I was just kidding. And then just be like, me too. Yeah. I'm like, well, your girlfriend hasn't told me you have a tiny dick. And she told me because I was eating her out. And she hadn't come in 6 years. So, and they'll be like, well, I was just kidding. Oh, me too. I don't fucking know.
That'll be the new me too.
The new me too.
They'll be like, oh God, don't say it.
So that, yeah. So, all right. So, okay. Trying to reel back.
We've really gone off the rails.
No, I love it. That's
Cindy works for the government.
So Cindy is Alias, and I don't give a fuck if that's a 15-year-old dated reference. I am spreading that rumor. I'm going to go on the Cleveland Akron board tomorrow and be like, Cindy Rice only gets work because she works for the CIA, and she has dirt on all the bookers in town,
right,
and is willing to send them all off to federal fucking prison.
Absolutely.
To suck Bernie Madoff's dick if they don't book her on every show. I think that's a pretty killer rumor.
I like
actually.
That
I'm
one.
Starting that rumor. Yeah. Fuck it. I'm doing it tomorrow. I am doing it tomorrow. I don't give a shit.
Good.
New Year's resolution.
That's the thing I love about New Year's resolutions is I don't really follow them. So I can just start one now. And
right.
It's just fuck it. Who cares? All right, let's back up. So you got your confidence through your job.
Right.
Did your job... The rest of this episode is going to be me asking sly questions to determine if she really is a spy.
So what do you wear to work every day?
Does your job require a lot of physical activity? Does it require knowing multiple languages?
Am I wearing a wire?
Are you wearing a wire? It'd be so funny if you leaned into the microphone and it was like, whew, you start getting feedback.
We're all like, ah.
Pete's like, feedback. What's doing that? What is that noise? And then you hear someone be like, eagle red, abort, abort. And a van just goes zooming by the house.
Like we're in E.T. or something.
And then there's the kitty over there just sitting there like E.T. in the pile of stuffed animals.
The cat is actually mic'd.
The cat is mic'd.
Joke's on
Are
us.
You wearing a wire, kitty? And he starts batting it around. Oh God, this is so great. No, I love this. This is the most laughter we've had on a show about comedy, which thank the good Lord for that.
Right.
So you started feeling more confident in your job. How long were you doing your job before you officially were like, I'm starting anew, I'm doing all this?
Well, it was, I had started my job in January. By February, I told my husband,
was
I threw
last year?
2014.
Okay, gotcha.
I threw my wedding ring at him and said, I said, you know what? You can take this and pawn it for drugs. I don't give a shit anymore. I'm out. And then the next month I started at the gym and I just started really pounding away at the gym and I got myself into really good shape.
Great.
and have been, I mean, I'm not thin.
Yeah, but you got like an hourglass thing
going. Yeah, I got curves.
You're like, yeah.
I'm telling you, fucking Google Cindy. Well, don't Google Cindy Rice, but Facebook Cindy Rice. Don't add her. That's creepy. But you got to see this. Like, this is some serious hotness going
on. She's
going
to get the creepiest friend request later.
I know. I always do anyway. Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably not
new.
Yeah,
I always do.
Especially.
No, it's fine.
I think we got, like, I meant to go into the fruit roll-ups thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because, so I always wondered this. I've never actually tried, so you have actually tried edible underwear before?
Oh, God, yeah.
And they are very similar to fruit roll-ups?
Yeah, that was the only way I was going to eat the edible underwear was going to be eaten, because he wasn't going to eat them.
Okay.
Clearly.
So you were, like, just trying.
Clearly. You know, so no, I got depressed and, you know, because he wasn't interested. So I went out on the couch and I laid down and I opened my edible underpants and I just started eating
hands
like
away.
A snack. They were delicious.
Fruit of the loom.
They were delicious. It was like cherry roll-ups. Yeah. I mean, fruit roll-ups. Yeah, it was delicious.
Can you just get those from like Adult Mart? I've never even looked
at them. Go in and buy them and snack on them. They're delicious.
Oh, no. Really? Like, my boyfriend would be all about it because he loves fruit snacks.
Really?
So
yeah, like, see?
I wouldn't get to enjoy them because he would just be like, rah, rah, rah. That, and the other thing is too, like, because we've been dating like 2 years at this point, he would probably just be like, can I have these? And like you, he would be sitting in bed just eating them like a fruit roll-up.
He would like pack a few for a snack
or right, to lunch. He'd put them in his lunchbox and go to work and take them out. And like, yeah. So
yeah, I can see me opening that pack at City Hall, you know, pulling out my edible underwear and eating them at my desk, you know, while my boss is having a meeting with the governor, you know.
Well, the prime minister of Ukraine is like sitting there.
From a starving country and I'm eating edible panties at my desk.
Flossing your teeth with the string on them. So like when you threw your ring and was like, fuck all this shit, was he pretty just like, yeah, all right? Or?
Oh no, he did not want. In fact, I did the dissolution myself, which I got all the paperwork myself, filled it out 4 different times. He destroyed it 4 different times redid it all.
So what do you think that was about? Was it like a control thing?
Oh, he didn't want out.
Why?
He had it good because I was good. I was a great, you know.
I mean, I'm not disputing like you were an amazing wife, but like he clearly wasn't happy. So like, why do you think
he thought things were fine?
Seriously?
Well, he's so fucked up in the head.
He probably needed you to take care of him.
Right. Absolutely.
So he didn't even know what to do.
Which is why he lived in my garage for 2.5 years after my divorce.
Oh, that was really nice of you. I mean, not probably the best situation, but you're a sweetheart. But you got your shit together. That's the thing. Like, this is like,
oh, I got my shit together.
So much shit together.
My shit's together. Yeah. I got it.
So was it at that, do you think, and I know like it's one of those things like we talked about, it's always kind of like in the back of your head, but when you started to feel more confident, was it specifically about like, because the thing is, there's the physical confidence of like, you know, you have body image issues. And then there's also like this sort of mental confidence of like, yeah, but I'm the fucking smartest bitch in every room.
Right.
Or I am the funniest bitch in every room. Or I'm like so fucking sweet. Like, you know, that you can't like, you can't really argue with like all the shit that I would do for my friends and family. Like from a mental perspective, do you think that both of those things kind of came at the same time? Did one begat the other?
I mean, as far as my body goes, I don't know that I'm ever going to be really confident about my body.
Yeah.
I don't know that any woman is.
Yeah.
Right. But I kept telling myself as I was working out in the gym and getting my act together and going out, I started going out by myself, really pushing myself out there, which was something I never would have ever done before. And I just started keep telling myself, you know what, Cindy? You've got a lot to offer somebody.
Yeah.
There's going to be somebody out there that's
That's so great.
Somebody is going to find you and is going to say, damn, I'm really glad I met her.
Yeah.
You know, so I just kept telling myself that, you know, that I had so much to offer and it did keep building up my confidence. And, you know, I may not be perfect. I may not look perfect. I may not have the best body. Right.
It's all Photoshop.
Right.
And wigs.
Yeah.
And wigs. And electrolysis.
Right.
And laser treatments.
Yeah.
Laser hair removal.
Oh, God. Yeah. Try waxing. you know, yeah. I didn't know until mm-hmm. after my divorce that that down there was supposed to be.
Oh, really?
You know.
So I'm of the generation where, like, yeah, when porn became a big thing, that was when it was supposed to be all off. The thing is, I actually didn't know because I didn't start, like, watching porn or looking at pornography until I was, like, 21-ish.
Right.
And then I was dating my ex-husband at the time, and he was like, are you aware of the twins? And the thing is, he didn't even ask. He didn't even, he just, could you just maybe, like, you know, clean up down there? And then I was like, well, wait, what's going on here?
What's
and then,
trending nowadays?
And then, right. Yeah, and then I started, like, noticing amongst, like, adult film and adult bookstores that, like, that was the trend. And so, like, it just all came off and never came
Yeah,
back,
I didn't
so.
Know until, yeah, that's it, yeah, I was going out stuff, on a date and he's you like, know. You know, are you going to do that? You know, take care of that or whatever.
Oh, so like it was one of those things where they asked like.
In advance.
Oh, okay.
In advance.
Okay,
so,
that's less
yeah.
awkward. Not right. ideal, but it's less awkward.
Right.
Than being like, what am I working with here?
Yeah, exactly.
Edge trimmers out.
Right.
No, but so it's interesting to me. So you literally just kind of had this epiphany between feeling the confidence you got from doing such a great job to just being like, just flipping everything on its side
right.
and saying like,
yes.
That's
and
so
now
empowering.
I am really trying to inspire other women, especially women my age,
yeah.
that, you know, you're never too old. I mean, at my, you know, 55 years old, I started belly dancing and I went zip lining for the first time, which I love.
I don't give a fuck if anybody says it's
right.
boring. I love zip lining.
I love it.
It's boring.
I did it off a mountain. I did it off a mountain.
I've never,
yeah,
I've
it was
gone
awesome.
Zip lining. I mean, it was such a small, I mean, I've never gone official off a cliff. Over
oh, you've got to do it. You've got to do it.
Nature.
You've got to do it.
I would do it. No,
I felt like my heart was going to stop. I mean, I really felt like I was going to have a heart attack. And yet when it was over with, it was the best thing ever because, aww. You know, I forced myself to do it again. I forced myself to do stuff that I never thought I would ever do
yeah.
ever in my lifetime.
And something I will say too is that, and this is not to disparage anyone who has quit, but comedy is hard.
Right.
And I think anybody who does it for longer than 3 months, I have a like your level of respect that I have like multiplies because like it's a fucking hard thing to
right.
do and you're still doing it. You know
right.
what I mean? Because I think after someone bombs for the first time or bombs like a couple of times in a row, it's
right.
like, I'm out. Like I can't take that level of rejection.
Yeah, right.
And especially coming from a place where you were already feeling like a little wobbly,
right.
having this huge past of like insecurity. The fact that you're still doing this, because you've been doing this, what, a year?
Not quite.
Okay. So
not
almost
quite.
A year?
It'll be a year in February.
See?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean. Like, the fact that you've been doing it for a year.
Right.
And as far as I know, you're showing no signs of stopping or planning on quitting anytime
Hell
soon.
No.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. Like, it's very admirable to me. And you, that's the other thing. There are two qualifications that make you continue on that long in doing stand-up, and it's self-confidence. You gotta have it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you're fucking batshit because like
right.
you're just so oblivious to like how you really are. Like
right.
you're so insane.
Is it kind of a thing where you have to literally not care what people think about you?
Yep.
Like you have to be able to like
now,
switch something. I mean,
yeah,
for the moment.
No,
yeah,
for
not
the moment.
Totally
for the
though, because, and that's why I posted because of what Jess is talking about. Just recently, I had my first time at Toth's place where I really felt like I bombed. And it was, I mean, people keep telling me I didn't, but I really felt like I did bomb, you know. And so I posted about that because I wanted other comedians to know, you know what? I mean, things have been really rolling great for me, but it can happen to any of us.
Oh, yeah.
And you shouldn't stop and you shouldn't get down on yourself. It's just the way it rolled that night. You
and
know,
what,
and just keep going.
What number was that for you? Like, was that, you know, like your fifth time doing stand-up?
Was, oh, no,
you
it
been
was
doing
recently.
It for months?
I've been doing okay. it for almost a year, and it was just recently. And it was the first time that I really felt like I really bombed. And that's why I posted it, because I wanted everybody to
toast,
see it. Yeah,
it was?
Yeah.
So Cindy stands out to me for the main reason that I saw you at O'Toole's. It was the first time I ever saw you.
Uh-huh.
O'Toole's is a tough room. She's right. making a face like, Jesus Christ, that's got to be the
see
worst.
See my face through the microphone.
I know, again, like, this is, she's an amazing storyteller. I actually almost got her to do stand-up one time because she's really fucking funny.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate because I wish we had video podcasts because her face is just like, yeah. the best thing about her.
I would just watch it back like, oh.
No, but like, Cindy stands out to me because O'Toole's, it is like, it's one of the toughest
that's
rooms.
A rough
crowd. It is tough.
Yeah. Right.
And I remember seeing her and I was like, oh, like, that's cool. Like, you know, it's cool that she's doing that. And then I saw her at Grog Shop, and it wasn't even, it might have been 3 weeks later. And it was like not even the same person. And not to say that she did a shitty job at O'Toole's, but O'Toole's, you could, you almost kind of seem like you were nervous and you weren't quite sure. And I didn't really know if I was ever going to see you again. And she got up at Grog and was just like, let me tell you this about that. And I was like, oh my God. And I was blown away by just like, it was like she had been doing this for like 5 years. Yeah. So I got up there, was like, I got something to say.
Oh, and, I got stories.
Oh, I got stories. And that was the thing. Like, so rarely, and that's what I think is one of the few benefits to doing this when you get older, is you have that actual genuine confidence. It's not faked. And furthermore, like, yeah, you got shit to say.
Oh, God,
you've,
yeah.
Like, lived life and you've seen stuff. And, like, yeah. I don't know, man. That's why she immediately stuck out to me, because it was just like, you don't see a lot of people go from, like, you know, sweet, shy, like, to just like, let me say this about that. And I was like, holy fucking shit, this is what we need. This is what we need. Because there, I think, like, there's probably not a lot of other women your age doing that.
No, only one or two that I know of.
Like, Chris Kanzi, she's one of my, I don't know if you've met Chris.
Right.
She works
right.
with me, and she's actually, like, slash kind of one of my mentors, because, like, she and her husband hired me to do murder mystery plays for them sometimes.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And I think she's super good. But yeah, it's like mostly, and there's not a lot of women in general. So, like, the demographic narrows even further
Absolutely.
When you talk about, like, age range and stuff like that. So, like, when I saw her just go up and like, I'm going to tell you this about that. I was like, it almost kind of reminded me of, like, Lisa Lampanelli or that kind of thing, where you were just like, this is what we fucking need.
Yeah.
And we don't need, you know, I don't want to be this person. This is going to come back to haunt me and bite me in the ass, but I don't want to, I'm not a huge, I think she writes, she's a great writer, but Elisha Schlesinger to me is like, sorority girl comedy a lot. And I don't relate to that.
Right.
Just like, it's very hard for me. There's enough like 20 something girl and 20 something exactly. girl basic girl mm-hmm. problem.
Those 20 year olds.
Fuck right. those 20 something bitches.
I think one of the Gigi's best, really cool. absolute best comments I got was from Jeff Davis, who does a show out east, mm-hmm. who talked about when I got up at one of the shows and there was so many women in the audience. And he said that I got up there and the women were determined not to like me because I was attractive. And I was busty.
I never had that. See, I love attractive women. I'm like, yes, bring it.
But I got up there and I made fun of myself and the stuff that I've been through and the fact that my husband didn't want to have sex with me and all that sort of stuff. And women started relating to me and saying, you know what? That I've been through that and I understand that. And it's kind of cool that even though she's attractive, you know, that her husband didn't want to have sex with her either, you know. It's really cool.
They're like, well, shoo. Yeah.
Well, and that's been like the bonus for me. So like, I thought she was awesome just from a like confidence and like a presentation perspective. But then to find out like we have very kind of like almost similar sort of history. I mean, obviously you were married a lot longer. You had a lot more like sort of tumultuous history with that. But I very much relate to being married where substance abuse was an issue and like that was the first person you were ever married to because you didn't think you could really do much better. You know, was that your feeling? Am I presuming?
Yes. Okay. No, absolutely. Okay. You know, because I was a single mom. I was a single mom in Guernsey County. And, you know, there's not a lot of options there. And I didn't have the means financially ever to get out of there on my own. Yeah. And, so I made that decision and I chose to live with it for 22 years. I could have gotten out earlier and I felt like maybe I could help him, you know, and
so now you're making up for it. You're living it up.
Now
living
I'm living
dream.
It up. Yes, I'm having a great time now.
Yeah,
so,
good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
That's great. So, when was your divorce finalized?
December 10th of 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I, you know, did skipping down Lakeside Avenue in downtown Cleveland as soon as the judge signed the papers.
That's funny.
Yeah.
When did you first sort of toy with the idea of comedy?
January of 2017.
Okay. So it hadn't really been something that occurred to you prior to
last year? At all.
Did someone encourage you to do it or what brought that on?
No, I'd been really kind of stupid funny my whole life, you know, but No, I just decided in 2017 as my New Year's resolution that the main thing I needed to do was I needed to push myself outside my comfort zone. So that was my entire resolution. So I tried to find different ways to push myself outside my comfort zone. And I saw the Dave Schwenson workshop.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Right. For comedy. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take that workshop. I'm going to get up there and do it. I'm going to tell all these people I went to high school with that I got on stage and I did comedy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be done. You know, I'm never going to do it again. Well, my first time on stage was at the Cleveland Improv in front of 349 people. Mm-hmm. And I got them laughing.
That's how many people there for the night for mine. Yeah. It was a packed house.
Really?
And I got them laughing.
There were a lot of people.
When you get 349 people laughing at you, that has you to be the don't best feeling ever. Stop.
Yep.
Right.
I do now, fantasize about it. Like, yeah. I just feel like it's just such a rewarding feeling. I mean, just even amongst my friends, if I make them all genuinely laugh. At,
right.
Even if it's just.
She does the best fucking stuff.
Because of something stupid I did. It doesn't
matter.
You
have to let me do you. Like, you have to let me do you. You have to let me do an episode.
Hot bike.
You have to let me, because like you guys don't understand, JJ has the best stories, which is why I wanted her to do stand-up. I actually almost got her to go to Funny Stop one
yeah
night.
Yeah, and then I got like super sick. So I lost my voice completely. I was sending Jess like videos so that she would believe.
So, you know,
I wasn't
bring
just
five.
Flaking.
She was one of
right.
my five. And I ended up replacing her with Zacho.
Oh, I love Zacho.
Which that was the second time Zacho had ever performed. And Zacho Ryan is in Chicago now. Shout out Zacho Ryan.
And I love Zacho Ryan.
And he, I don't know if you've
you're
met,
welcome guys.
You're welcome. Zacho Ryan's group. No, if you see a picture of him, he's like a fucking Gucci model. It's ridiculous.
Oh, he's
that dude
he's
already
beautiful.
Has too much going for him. And
he's beautiful.
His girlfriend looks like Zoe Saldana.
Right.
So like,
what?
Yeah. Right. It's ridiculous.
Right.
The whole
he,
thing is
he
nonsense.
Is beautiful.
Unfair
yeah. to look at, man. But yeah. he's wonderful too. Yeah, I just love
that
him.
That was his second time on stage. So I was hosting that night, and that was his second time on stage. I brought him up. He set the place on fire.
Yeah.
That's
I go
awesome.
Back up and I'm like, that was his second time on stage and the whole place went, because yeah. like that was just, that's how naturally good he was.
Right.
So, but I still fucking think you need to like tell, I think you need to do your set because it was a tight 5 minute set. It wasn't like,
yeah.
You need to do that set again.
Right.
Oh, I have more material.
She
just
has such good stories. She rides the bus. So she has good
yeah,
ass
just
fucking
riding
stories.
The same bus for 10 years. Just that alone will give you plenty of stories.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's super funny, but that's the thing. The majority of my friends always say to me, like, I don't think I could do, because that's the thing. Sane people,
right.
for the most part, sane people are like, no, fuck that. I'm not putting myself out there
right.
being that vulnerable in front of a room full of people, which is why I'm normally hammered when I get up there.
Yeah,
because,
I feel like I would have to do like a solid shot.
No,
before,
that's it. I do at least two to three.
Which I was planning on doing
shots
like, when I was going to do it.
No, I usually do like a double of something before I go up. And that's the thing. When there's a sweet spot, at least for me personally, and I want to hear about like yours too, if you have one. There's a sweet spot for me personally where if I do like one or two shots of like tequila, or if I have like just a double vodka soda or something, that is this perfect spot of for me where I'm still eloquent and
right.
not like just saying whatever.
Yeah.
But also, I don't give a single fuck.
Get super punchy.
Anymore about if people laugh, if they don't. And that actually makes it funnier because I just go do whatever the fuck I want
right.
because I don't care. Now, for you, was it ever like you were nervous, you hesitated, or were you like, nah, fuck it. Like, I've been through enough.
Oh,
I don't have to worry about
I'm
it
I'm still nervous.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And do you
I'm
do
still
anything
nervous.
To combat that? Like, do you do a shot? Do you drink? Like, what do you, is there anything?
The most I've ever done is to have a light beer okay. ahead of time. I try to keep my mind clear because, you know, I'm menopausal. Mm. And so we kind of forget. I mean, I could stand up there and forget why I'm standing up there at this point in my
yeah.
life. So I don't want to forget what I need to remember.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't drink ahead
okay.
of time.
Okay.
Now I will drink after.
After?
Like,
to help
woo!
Like take the edge
yeah.
off. Like, thank God I got
thank
that.
Thank God.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's why I don't smoke before I go up because as evidenced by the last two podcast episodes, when I smoke, I will be three words into a sentence and be like, wait, wait, what?
Wait,
geez, what were we? And the thing is, like, when everyone's high, everyone's like, I don't know. Let's just start yelling about whatever.
I want to make this clear. I am not high.
No,
I work
she's
for
not
the government.
High. She is not high. There's no marijuana anywhere
whole
near
thing be stricken.
Us that I am aware of. There is no marijuana anywhere near this facility. This is a marijuana-free zone. So, no, but, like, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, a lot of guys will be like, yeah, no, I just, like, smoked a couple of bowls before and I went
right.
up. I'm like, I don't know. Now I will say, like, I get relaxed, but I get so relaxed that I don't think. Like, right. I don't remember. I don't focus. And so I have never, ever, ever, and I hopefully will never, ever, ever feel confident enough to go up and try to do a set while high, because I just feel right. like that's going to end disastrously.
Yeah.
Because it would affect my timing. Now, the thing is, I can write high. Like, I can write... Like, I write some really funny shit while high. Yeah. I'm just like, wouldn't it be funny if that's...
Do you read it the next day, though, and you're like, what yes. does this even mean? God.
There are times where I wrote, like, this is a brilliant idea for a movie plot. And then I look at it, and I'm like, what was I doing there? Oh, yay, Rich is here. So, Geege... Oh, thank you, Geege. Geege is going to let Rich in. We should probably wrap this up. I want to thank our guest so much, Cindy Rice, for doing this. This was so fucking fun.
Thank you for having me. I've had a blast. I love you, Jess.
Thank you. I love you, too. You're great. I want to give a shout out to a couple different people. Hi, Rich.
Hello.
I want to give a shout out to a couple different people before we wrap up here. You can follow me, Jess Falstick, on Twitter and Instagram at EpicFaul, EpicFaul. Geege, do you want people to know your handle?
Oh, yeah. I'm on Instagram, Geege Chick.
Is it G.G.?
G.G.
Chick.
Yep, Chick.
Like with a K and everything. Yeah. Come in, Rich. This is not a professional setting. We're just getting drunk and doing whatever the fuck. Also, I want to give a shout out to OK Pants. He designed our logo. You can find him at OK Pants on literally everything. He is our generation's Banksy. He's probably really pissed that I said that, because he probably thinks Banksy's a hack or some shit. Pete Milk, Milky Way Recordings. He produced all this shit, put it online, made it sound like it's actually somewhat
Pete's
like
great.
Shit together. Pete is literally the sweetest.
Thanks for
person.
Striking all that stuff
Thanks,
for us.
Pete.
He edited out all the shit that we said about where Cindy works as a CIA agent. He has the best cat in the entire world who just ran through the room. Above Below Entertainment, that is the network we are on. Also Lousy Weather Media, because I think Above Below is a part of them and I want to make sure all my bases are fucking covered. Also Avenue Tap House every Sunday at 7 p.m. is my showcase. You can catch Cindy out there probably at least once a month. I book her on a showcase because she's great.
Thank you.
Cindy, is there anything you want me to promote for you?
You can find me on Facebook and it's CYNDIRICE comedy.com.
Fuck yeah. I think that is all I made notes to remember to say about this week. Well, the last two episodes we've ended in a sound effect, or we actually ended the last episode with the penis game.
Well, the sound effect that we did, I can't even do. You
we
have
did
to
the
do
trill.
It, the trill.
But I don't want to do the trill again. I feel like there's something relevant to like...
What was that like that hockey horn buzzer thing?
Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah. That.
Okay, we're going to do the thing. Can you do that?
I'll
all right,
try.
All right, so we're going to try
if
to
Cindy
do the,
tries.
I like that. So I love, wait, I want to just address the fact that everyone else in the known world knows it as the rap siren, and she called it the hockey horn. So I
don't know some things about... About
I don't
sports.
Know some things about this stuff. This is like the one area where like Geege doesn't know what the cool kids are saying. And she knows literally all the other shit.
Sports and spy film is not my niche.
All right. So we're going to do rap horn. All righty.
All righty.
One, two, three. Bow, 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 bow.
Nope. That didn't sound like it at all.
Right.
Okay. Love you. Bye.